We're joined this morning by Stephen Wong. He's the co-author, along with Dave Grobe, of a book called Game Worn, Baseball Treasures, from the Game's Greatest Heroes and Moments. Stephen, thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Bruce, thanks for having me on the show.
So how do you take a book of laundry and make it work?
You've done your homework because, you know, Seinfeld actually called it, at the end of the day, when you look at a baseball game, we're rooting for laundry.
Right.
But, you know, to answer your question, Bruce, this has been, game-worn uniforms of Major League ballplayers is probably the most coveted area of collecting. They're obviously, from a monetary standpoint, very valuable. But, you know, much more important than that, they're exceedingly rare, and what they represent, you know, these are the uniforms that Joe DiMaggio, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Ted Williams, Roberto Clemente, Sandy Koufax, George Brett, Nolan Ryan wore for an entire season, you know, on the field, and performing their, you know, their duties and excellence as ballplayers. No one ever thought to save these uniforms after a season, and quite frankly, a lot of them in the old days were sent down to the minors and used by minor league ballplayers in the farm system, and eventually were discarded. You know, none of them really thought about saving these things. They were not souvenir items like scorecards or tickets, or the way that people would save baseball cards, for example, or pennants. You know, these were actually work garments by these players, and they were a business expense for the ball clubs, you know, that hired these ball players to play. And no one ever thought of saving them. So the fact that they actually survived to today is just is a miracle, quite frankly. And so for those that have survived, you know, they're very, very cherished by the collectors who collect these. You know, you see museum displays. Often the core of museum displays tend to center around these uniforms because of their significance and their rarity. And it's something that I've loved for many, many years, and so has my co-author, Dave Grobe.
Talk a little bit about where these uniforms are. They're all in the book, but where did they come from, and how did you kind of collect all of these, get them together all?
Well, a lot of them, you know, it comes from different aspects. Some of them were, you know, remained in the family estate of the ball player through many generations. And, you know, after either the ball player, you know, passes away, or, you know, the family estate starts to, you know, want to liquidate some of their assets, that's one way. Another way is fellow ball players of that particular player. So let's say, you know, Willie Mays' teammate, you know, on the New York Giants, for example, you know, would have gotten perhaps a uniform from Mays himself and kept it, you know, throughout the family, you know, through generations. How it comes to the, you know, to collectors is really through private sales, you know, auction circuit. You know, there are a number of auction houses out there that hold auctions, several auctions throughout the year. You don't see a lot of these uniforms per se. Because a lot of them, particularly now, are buried in, you know, private collections, the most prominent of them being featured in our book. And a lot of them are obviously in Cooperstown or other museums like the St. Louis Cardinals, you know, Hall of Fame and Museum, and other ballparks that have museums adjacent to their stadium.
So let's talk about some. Can we talk about some of the uniforms that we do see in this book, and how do you kind of present them?
Okay, well, we basically, the uniforms we selected were based on a couple of criteria. One was obviously, you know, how famous the ball player was. So you'll have, you know, uniforms from Walter Johnson, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, you know, Ted Williams, Willie Mays, Roberto Clemente, and the like. But you'll also, we chose uniforms that were worn in very special events, such as Bill Mazeroski's uniform that he wore in Game 7 of the 1960 World Series, you know, to hit arguably one of the most famous home runs in baseball history, winning the World Series for the Pirates over the Yankees. We also chose uniforms of lesser-known players who are, you know, by their own right, very significant, but may not be that known by mainstream. You know, readers or you know, people who enjoy baseball history. You know, people like Mo Berg, Eddie Waitkus. Eddie Waitkus played for the Phillies. You know, he was shot in 1949 by a woman named Ann Ruth Steinhagen, which was the first case in baseball for celebrity stalking. Bernard Malamud wrote the book The Natural in 1952, which, as you know, is one of the most famous baseball books ever written, and Robert Redford starred in that movie in 1984. Bernard Malamud titled that book after Eddie Waitkus. And so in our book, you'll read and learn about who Eddie Waitkus was. We also chose uniforms based on rare styles. There are a lot of uniforms out there from the dead ball era all the way, you know, through the 60s that are very rare in terms of just being a style. They're not actually worn by a famous player, but to own, you know, a Pittsburgh Pirates or, for example, a Philadelphia Phillies uniform, you know, before World War II, it's a very rare style relative to other uniforms from other teams that may be, you know, more prevalent.
Much like today, where it seems like every time they take the field, there's a different uniform or there's marketing behind it. Do you notice that in any of the early uniforms, or were they just basically, you know, here's the number, here's the insignia or whatever, and they move on?
Yeah, that's a good question, Bruce. No, I mean, obviously, the advertising you see on uniforms today, I don't think there's much on baseball, because I don't think Major League Baseball allows it. But you're absolutely right. Back in the day, uniforms outside of the team name, either by, you know, their nickname or the city name, a lot of uniforms featured special patches. And this is a very fascinating part of the uniform from the old days. There were a lot of patches that commemorated different events or anniversaries, for example, throughout baseball history. So, for example, in 1939, the baseball centennial patch was applied to the left sleeve of all Major League Baseball uniforms, both in the National as well as in the American League, and that was to commemorate baseball's so-called centennial celebration, you know, through the myth of Abner Doubleday supposedly founding baseball in 1839, which we all know is not true, but hence it was an important part of history, and in 1939 they celebrated that. You know, then you see anniversary patches, like in 1951 the National League celebrated, you know, its 75th anniversary, and the American League celebrated its 50th anniversary, and so special patches were placed on the left sleeve of the uniforms. So, again, there are a lot of beautiful, aesthetically appealing aspects of a uniform that go just beyond the number on the back or the name of the team on the front.
Do these include complete uniforms, or are we just talking about sort of like the shirt of them?
The book includes full uniforms, jerseys, and pants, in some cases even including the hat and maybe the jacket, as well as jerseys of itself. So when we say the term uniform, what we mean is we include jackets, we include sweaters, the jersey, the pants, as well as hats.
And, of
and
course,
in some cases, the stirrup socks.
Wow. Of course, the jerseys and the clothing's changed over a lot. You even have something called the knit era in your book.
Yeah, the knit era started in 1972, and you know, back before 1972, uniforms were made by a wool flannel fabric. You know, starting from 1900, all the way through, I would say, through the 1930s, the fabric was a heavy wool fabric. So you often scratch your head, how could a player have worn that in St. Louis in July? You know, because it was so heavy and warm, and obviously, you know, the weather during the summer in those parts, you know, the States, was very, very hot and humid. But, you know, they didn't know any better. And so in the 50s and the 60s, the fabrics were a lot thinner, wool flannel fabric, a lot more comfortable for the players. And in the 1972, they moved to a knit fabric, which is a antecedent of what players, you know, wear today.
Well, you know, to be fair, the people in the audience were wearing suits, ties, and hats and dresses when they went to these games, while the guys were wearing wool on the field. So I think we've evolved in both regards to what we wear to a game and what the players are wearing, too.
That's a good point.
Right. The book is called Game Worn, Baseball Treasures from the Game's Greatest Heroes and Moments. Our guest, Stephen Wong. Stephen, if we want to get a hold of this and get this coffee table book on someone's Christmas list, how do we go about doing that?
Well, it's available in all the bookstores, Barnes & Nobles, as well as Amazon.com and everywhere where books are sold. And I hope everyone likes it. Certainly a lot of heart and soul went into it, and it's a great tribute, obviously, to our national pastime.